ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
I'm trying to relate the story of Govardhan Hill, how is one of the best servitor in the devotional cage. A devotee must know the importance of Govardhan Hill in their life. The worshipper of Lord Sri Krishna, who manifests himself as Govardhan, is very well known that Agastya Muni wanted to show his prowess, so Vindhya Mountain and took up a piece and want to carry it. But the king of the mountain told him, well, I can only accompany you. That you will never take rest. You have to continue walking. You lift me up, but as long as you do not keep this promise, and if you get tired and if you have to put me down, then I will be staying there forever. So Agastya Muni agreed. And this piece of Vindhya Mountain, and then he brought to Vrindavan area, and he felt heaviness because the Lord's desire is there. It is said that Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, all three, wanted to take part in the Leela of when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, will be adventing. Everybody wanted to take some part. So Lord Krishna advised him, Shivji, you become Nandeshwar Mountain. Brahma, you become Brahmacharya. And Vishnu is my form, but I will tell him to go and reside in Vrindavan as Govardhan. So Govardhan is the embodiment of Lord Krishna, but at the same time he has to simply witness the pastimes of Lord, as others also are simply to be witnessing the pastimes of Lord. Because the intricate pastimes can be understood or seen or taken part in only by undivided devotional service. So the Lord wanted to perform all those pastimes only with his intimate devotees. So they agreed, and that's how Govardhan was a piece of mountain from Vindhya, and Agastya Muni, and that place, you know, felt very heaviness, and he has to put down. And there Govardhan established himself. But Krishna would come only during this Pauganda Leela, which is subsequently taking place in Gokul. That was the childhood pastimes. But when Kansa started sending so many demons to kill Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu, both who were having their little kingdoms in Gokul as well as in Rabu area, they thought that the attack of the demons is so much that we should better find a different place. So they subsequently decided that they should go. So Nanda Maharaj and all his brothers came to Nandagram and established themselves there. And Rishabhanu, the father of Radharani, brought his clan to Basara. Rishabhanu Pur at that time it was called. Now, Govardhan is closer to Vrindavan area as of today, but it was about 18 kilometers away from Barsana and 8 kilometers further to Vrindavan, Nandagram. This particular pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill is applicable in every one of our lives. Now, pride, who doesn't have pride? Ego is one of the last things that is in our attachment. So, you can imagine Indra's pride that the demigods like Indra in the mode of Rajogun predominantly. He was so powerful, so ambitious, and he can easily become victim of his own ego. So the whole setting that Krishna wanted to smash the pride of Indra. By understanding this lila, we shall also ask for Krishna to smash our pride, to make us humble. Because material energy is very, very overpowering and make us think that we are the Lord and Master also, even though we are not. More passion will drive away us from the reality and push us on to the complete lordship, but which is temporary and whatever, and it may be faced with so many impediments, but yet that push of moral passion is very, very great. So, when Krishna smashes the pride of Indra by lifting the golden hill, that is also applicable to us, that Krishna may lift our ego very easily. If it is so difficult by our calculation to lift up toward the hill, then our ego will be so much insignificant, and Krishna can easily lift it up. So, this is a very good meditation. But let's see, why it is necessary? Why it is necessary? The whole setting is beautifully set up between the conversation of Lord Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, his father, and the elders, who were preparing for a sort of sacrifice, and this sacrifice was meant for Indra. But their thinking was to remain obedient to the material nature. But Krishna's thinking is something else. These are all his intimate devotees. Why should they think to worship somebody else in presence of Lord Krishna? Whichever the reason may be, that it is out of moral goodness, that yes, they want to be obedient in the cycle of Mother Nature, that they should offer this oblation as a sacrifice or the for Indra, because he supplies the rain. But this conversation to convince a simple-hearted person, Krishna uses so many arguments and different kinds of arguments by which anybody can be easily convinced that there is no necessity to worship the demigod. And we should worship only him and him alone. In Bhagavad Gita, he says so many things, straightforward. It is the lust that produces the karma or the desires, and they are unsatiable, therefore people out of that lust approach different demigods to fulfill their desires. But actually their intelligence is destroyed. Ratagyana. Kama is taste, ratagyana, prapadyantyanya devata, tam tam nimmasthaya mayati vitasvaya. People do not know the cause of all causes. Even for the demigods who are supposed to be distributors of all the material amenities for people who have come to fulfill their desires, but they are not source of it. They are not source of satisfaction. The source of satisfaction is Lord Krishna himself and nobody else. So however one may try to approach any other methodology, Krishna has argument in that particular respect to smash and prove himself. He was merely a child, hardly 7 years old. Sukadeva Goswami is describing that after staying at the place where the Brahmanas were making a sacrifice, where Krishna and Balaram, along with the cowherd boys, they were looking for food. And they went to the Brahmanas and they said, "We are very busy. Don't disturb us. You kids, you should go home and eat." Then Krishna thought, "Let me send somebody to their homes where their wives are cooking food. So why not? And just tell them Krishna and Balaram are here, they are hungry, and please supply us some food." And just hearing this, the wives of Brahmanas ran with load of prasadam, because the Lord was hungry. They were in mood of pure devotion, and they were trying to serve him. This opportunity was more important than any other household work. So they ran. They passed through where the Brahmanas were performing sacrifices, and yet they did not pay any attention. They ran to see the Lord and feed him and satisfy him. So Krishna benedicted him. Then the Brahmanas also reconsidered what was going on. So naturally they reflected on themselves that we are performing the fire sacrifices for the same Supreme Lord who is here, and he wanted some service and we denied him. We were so much obsessed by simply the procedures. Now it means if we lose the purpose of performing any particular process while we are doing, then naturally it's a useless thing. So why do we have to worship Govardhan Hill? The whole setting Krishna turned into a very, very smart, intelligent way. Anybody can be satisfied. See, I will try to read a few passages. Being the omniscient super soul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation. Yet, he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is omniscient, but yet he wants to act in such a way that he will be teaching simultaneously while accomplishing his leela. He said, "My father, my dear father, kindly explain to me what is this great endeavor of yours is all about? What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then for whose satisfaction it is intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? Please tell me all about it, oh father. I have a great desire to know, and I am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets are to be kept by sankhya personalities, who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine and others, and who do not consider who is a friend and who is an enemy and who is neutral. One who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy, but a friend should be always considered like one's own self. A neutral person is useless. Now, as far as making a decision, neutrality will not prove anything. It is an escapism. So, he asked further, when people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavors of yours should be clearly explained to me. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction or simply a custom of ordinary society? If we check ourselves in our daily life, are we doing simply anything as a custom or with some solid backing of knowledge? Nanda Maharaj replied, "The great Lord Indra is the controller of rain. The clouds are his personal representatives and they directly provide rain water, which gives happiness and sustenance of all creatures. Not only me, my dear son, but also many other men worship him. And the Lord and Master of the rain even clouds is heaven. We offer him grains and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development and sense gratification. Thus Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the productive success of industrious people. Now, Krishna drives because everyone is hard working. And Krishna explains that why to go to demigods if the law of nature which impels us to work gives immediate result? Kshipram hi manushu loke siddhir bhavati karma jaya. All the results are easily achieved. People are so much in tune that they do not think it is obligatory to refer their ordinary work. They are carried out by their own selfish desires, has anything to do with Lord Krishna. They are so much obsessed. That is called entanglement of reactionary work, karma bandha, where they neglect their reality. So, Krishna is taking a position of karma aspect. Actually, the Lord has nothing to do, neither the soul, his part and parcel has nothing to do. But under the false conception, we think we are the doer, and we have to do. If we don't do, then how do we exist? So let's see. This is the religious principle based on sound tradition, Nanda Maharaj is saying. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. One should not neglect the supplier. Sukadeva Swami is referring that when Lord Krishna heard his father speaking, he addressed his father to arouse anger in him. Because his father was very devout, and how to fail his program. Krishna is targeting him. Because if Indra is the Lord to receive all the offerings that they have been collecting, Krishna starts with atheism. This is for the sake of argument. And Krishna is telling just to prove something opposite and establish his desire over everything. So Krishna takes the role of an atheist. Lord Krishna says, it is by force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and by karma alone that he meets his destruction, his happiness, distress, fear, sense of security, and all arises as an effect of karma. Even if there is some supreme controller, means the first statement was atheistic. He puts emphasis on the karma. But how to prove? Say, if there is some supreme controller who rewards all others, the result of their activities, he must also depend upon a performance engaging activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruitive results unless the fruitive activities have actually been performed. Unless he performs, he will be out of job. The demigod who is in charge of supplying us, if we do not perform the right activity, he doesn't have two suppliers. He will be totally unemployed. So even though if there is somebody who is a supplier, and therefore you are performing and appreciating his services, but you are performing the activity, my dear Adha. You are, and all the karmic means they are hard working. You till the land, you produce it, you depend upon the rain, that's alright. But rain is given by me because you are working. If you don't work, he is not obliged, neither he will have to give. Actually, rain is not given by Indra. Living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Now, destiny means prarabdha. Whatever work we do in this life, we are rewarded another life according to our work. So, we are getting our life and sustenance according to our karma. Why do we need Indra in between? It is the nature. Every individual is under control of his own conditioned nature. And thus, he must follow that nature. This entire universe, with all its demigods, demons and human beings, is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities. The three modes of material nature condition us, and they are the one to force us to act. Are we acting willfully? How much? Or are we being impelled to work? If mode of passion is increasing, then we act completely wild. We don't know what's going on. Ask every parent for the adolescent when they are getting into that age where moral passion is so much increased. So, I am not independent. We are working naturally according to the swabhava we obtained from Mother Nature. So who is responsible? Indra? No. Because it is karma that causes the conditioned living entity to accept and then give up different high and low grades of material bodies. This karma is his enemy, friend, and natural witness or neutral witness, his spiritual master and controlling the Lord. It is actually this karma. So karma is the Lord. You should worship karma. Karma hi puja. That's it. Boldly. Work is worship. It has no head or no tail. Whom he is to worship? How it becomes worship? They can't answer. You can go into your factory, do a karma of ignorance, of in the mode of ignorance, and it will become your worship. Karma is the Lord. Karma is your enemy also. Because it's the force of nature that make us idiot. And we can't perform any activity correctly. So who is to be blamed? Karma. Karma is our enemy. At the same time, because karma gives us results which may be favorable too, therefore he is our friend, or actually he is the worshipable Lord. Don't think Krishna is advising us to do that kind of karma. But he gives an argument to smash these superstitions. Superstitions are somehow or other found in educated people also. And if you want to see superstitions acting live, you should go to Fiji and you'll find out people are simply being driven away from wishful thinking, which is not the fact. So, Krishna is arguing against the superstitions. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deed. Karma. If one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We should be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. What it means, Lord Krishna is boldly arguing that just as a woman can never achieve actual dignity or enlightenment from the illicit lover, the residents of Vrindavan will never be happy by neglecting the real source of their prosperity and worshipping Indra instead. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the audacity that child Krishna displayed before his father and other elders should be understood as an exhibition of the transcendental anger aroused when he saw that his eternal devotees worshipping an insignificant demigod. Krishna shows this transcendental anger by arguing very bluntly. Now he goes on Varnashram. Karma is not worship. Now he is turning again the same subject matter into much more regulated principle type of activity. The Brahman maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas, the members of royal order by protecting the earth and the Vaishyas by trade, and the Shudras by serving the higher twice born classes. The occupational duties of the Vaishyas are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. The causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in particular, the mode of passion creates this universe through the sexual combination causes to become full of variety. Another atheist argument. Actually, these are the arguments as if the demon or demoniac nature. The demons think, those who don't think that there is a supreme personality Godhead, that we are obligated eternally and worship Him unconditionally, they think, forget Him. This material nature is produced out of the lusty desires. And that is not the cause behind it, they say. Impelled by the material mode of passion, the clouds pour down their rain everywhere. Because any activity which is showing a dynamism, it is by the impelling rajoguna, the mode of passion. The clouds fall down, they rain everywhere, and by this rain all creatures gain their sustenance. What has great Indra to do with this arrangement? Indra did not make this arrangement. So he is advising that we should stick to our Varnashram karmas according to whichever mode we are in, but he is driving towards that Varnashram karmas are supposed to be for the satisfaction of the Supreme, but he is not revealing yet. My dear father, our home is not in the cities or in the town or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Even though they are Vaishya, but they migrated. So they are still migrants. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill begin. See how he drives the point home. This is very intellectual, argumentative process. A clever boy. He extolled karma, mimamsa, which is atheistic philosophy. People are thinking that by their work they get happiness. But actually Bhagavatam denies this. Bhagavatam denies that they will never get happiness because there is no sense of happiness ever being perceived. It is only on the basis of calculation of miseries we estimate our happiness. So actually, it's a fantasy to think we are happy here in this material world is a fantasy, a wishful thinking. It does not exist. Therefore, the fire sacrifice with all paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from rice, sweet rice to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cake, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken into this consideration sacrifice. Krishna is using the word soup. Panchatam vidhim pakaha supanta paya sadhana. Supa. Supa. Soup. Means liquid. Broth or whatever it is. The word supa indicates bean broth and also liquid vegetables. That's to celebrate Govardhan Puja. Soup is required. Have we prepared soup?
Dal.
Yeah?
You get dal.
Oh, you get dal. Okay. Soup. Soup is a Sanskrit word spoken by Lord Krishna himself. The Brahmanas who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrifice of fire. Then you should feed the priest with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. After giving appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumvent the cows, the brahmanas, the sacrificed fires, and the Govardhan Hill. He shows how to conduct the Govardhan Puja. This is my idea, O Father, and you may carry it out if it appeals to you. After brainwashing everybody, now he wants to escape cleverly. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the brahmanas and the Govardhan Hill, and also to me. So, what is the reaction of his father? Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who himself powerful time desired to destroy the false pride of Indra. When none and other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statements, they accepted his words as proper. This is the real turning point. These arguments from a small boy is so much convincing from every aspect, whether atheistic or the regulated principle through the Vedic injunctions or through one's occupational swabhava. So the idea is that one has to deliberate intelligently of what he is doing. His activity should be an offering to the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. Because ultimately, a bhokta means enjoyer is the Supreme Lord Himself. And whoever is connected with Him, they are more dear to Him నమో బ్రహ్మణ్య దేవాయ గో బ్రాహ్మణ హితాయ చ జగతి కృష్ణాయ గోవిందాయ నమో. బికాస్ కాజ్ ఆర్ వెరీ క్లియర్ అండ్ బ్రాహ్మణస్ ఆర్ సాక్రిఫైస్ బ్రాహ్మణ్స్ పర్ఫార్మ్ బికాస్ సాక్రిఫైస్ ఇస్ ది ఓన్లీ పొజిషన్ ఆర్ గుడ్ వర్చ్యూ ఆర్ ఓర్నమెంట్ ఆన్ బ్రాహ్మణ్. దేర్ఫోర్ బ్రాహ్మణ్ మీన్స్ సాక్రిఫైస్. And therefore they should be maintained by the society. Not otherwise. If a Brahmin takes up another occupation, like becoming a merchant, then society should not. Actually, he should give all the taxes for the benefit of the society. Anyway, the purpose is that to come to the conclusion of the supreme aspect of the worship is simply concentrated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself is the personality. So we celebrate Govardhan Puja for the purpose of smashing our whatever pride we have through all this misconception or through so-called religious nature that creates nothing but piety, but Krishna doesn't partake in the piety or in pious activity. He simply partakes. Ye bhajanti to maam bhaktya te shati chanti te ham. If one worships me, I will support it. I will worship him. Krishna makes himself available. It's a blank statement, but it is so deep that it gives us opportunity to think that at what extent are we surrendering to him. So he will be available to us. So Govardhan Puja serves so many instructions that we must follow and understand, and we should do every day when it comes to prasadam. A mound of prasadam, golden hill, it is made up of cake. The master cake maker. You made it, right? Yeah. All glories to. So, thank you very much. Anybody has any question? The whole process is already told that how to be celebrate Govardhan. If we eat from the Govardhan hill, then there will be no necessity to do the parikrama. But better do the parikrama before. Not to be wowed. Actually, Krishna expanded his very self simultaneously when they were doing all this parikrama, bowing down. He also transformed himself, and people saw, Brijvasis saw, that Govardhan hill became alive and was eating all the prasad. Krishna expanded, then everything is within him, is part and parcel of him. How could this sanctified hill that is serving the best to give the shelter to all the Brijvasis against any physical impediment. It nurtures everyone, gives the shade, cool water, everything. So, is the best of servants. Haridas, my dear. Haridas, is the servant of the Lord, and Varian is the shrestha, topmost. Therefore, if you want to go and reside in Vrindavan, better than residing in Vrindavan, you go into the central part of the Vrindavan and place Govardhan. And if you want to live in Govardhan area, better live in Radha Kavan. Right. So because the pastimes are concentrated there, very, very intensified pastimes are there.
Can you tell us some of the ways that Govardhan serves to become the best servant?
Go means cows, Vardhan means increased. The cows are nourished and they are still grazing there. So, Govardhan is an expansion of Lord Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu, and therefore Mahavishnu is also serving to become the first Purusha avatar of Lord Krishna, who is giving us a chance to understand the supreme aspect of His Majesty. He expands in the material universe. After creating as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and expands all the way within our heart as Paramatma. And He sustains everything within the atom and without the atom. There is no space that the Govardhan or the manifestation of Mahavishnu is so close to our being. He accompanies us. So naturally, Govardhan was the sustenance of the old rich masses. So, when Govardhan sat down and Durvasamuni, it was Durvasamuni, right? I said what before? Agastya Muni. So, when he cursed to decrease every day, size of the sesame seed, you know, and what we see that it is sinking. So we may not realize that how Govardhan is supposed to serve us or serve every living entity. But if you see the size of Govardhan during that time, you will be amazed that it was supporting the whole Brijavasi. But because Mahavishnu is a has a function to give us a chance by fulfilling our desires, we are sustained by Him. So that is the manifestation of Govardhan. And Krishna is lifting Govardhan here. He is lifting Himself. The portion of portion. Is it all right?
What happens if someone don't worship Govardhan here?
It doesn't get even devotional service. He wouldn't understand devotional service. Govardhan is so important. He would not understand. Yes.
Maharaj, can you tell us the story why Govardhan Hill is actually sinking?
That was the curse. Because Agastya's desire did not fulfill, and he has to well, who knows the story? Where he was taking Giriraj, the Vindhya mountain. It's said to be Vindhya's son, and he was taking, and there was an agreement that don't put me down. But being desirous to serve Lord Krishna, that portion of Vindhya mountain became very heavy, because that manifestation was of Krishna in form of Mahavishnu, and he has to play the part there. So he was induced to go to that direction. Then he felt nature's call. So there was no way, you know. So he put it down. And then, that's about it. So his desire was not fulfilled at where he wants to take it into abundance. So, the Muni's prowess is to show the physical aspect of, or the material prowesses by Ashtanga Yoga that he can carry. But he has to abandon such effort when it comes to the transcendental service of the Lord. Therefore, the yogi became frustrated and he gave him the curse that you will decrease by the size of a sesame seed. When we circumambulate Govardhan Hill, which takes about 8 hours, because it's 21 kilometers as of today existing, we visit so many places of pastimes where Indra entered, or Indra Nagara places there, then where Giriraj was lifted. Facing the other side towards Barsana, Lord Krishna was there. People have stories behind that. But anyway, the idea is that there are so many places of pilgrimage to visit. Well, Lord Krishna and Radharani's intimate pastimes are there. Even Madhavendra Puri, in recent times, 500 years back, a little more than that, you know, found the Gopal deity, which is very famous as Giridhari. The Gopal deity is now in Nathadwara, lifting Govardhan. It was established by Vajranath, the grandson of Lord Krishna himself. So there are a lot of pastimes, and we must meditate on them. But our intention should be, and Giriraj may help us to make very humble, right? Because that was the entire pastime all about. Lifting golden hill. Any other question or comments? What's the next program?
Circumambulation on the hill.
Chanting.
Kirtan, no? Yeah, arati the golden hill, circumambulation. Then after that, offer the gifts, the Lord, and then offering the lamps.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. All those who program.